If you could turn in your copy of the scriptures to the book of Jeremiah, the book of the prophet Jeremiah, and the last chapter, chapter 52. Jeremiah 52. We will only read four verses of this chapter, the last four verses of the book of Jeremiah. Jeremiah 52, verses 31 to 34. Jeremiah chapter 52 and verses from verses 31 to verse 34. That is the word of the Lord. Let us hear what God wants to speak to us tonight. Verse 31 says, "And it came to pass in the 37th year of the captivity of Jehoiakim king of Judah, in the 12th month, in the 25th day of the month, that Evil-Merodach, king of Babylon, in the first year of his reign, lifted up the head of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, and brought him forth out of prison, and spake kindly unto him, and set his throne above the throne of the kings that were with him in Babylon, and changed his prison garments, and he did continually eat bread before him all the days of his life. And for his diet, there was a continual diet given him of the king of Babylon, every day a portion, until the day of his death, all the days of his life." Let us come to our God in prayer. Our God and our Lord, we come again through the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and through the blood that he shed in the cross of Calvary. And we pray, O Lord, for your help, for the anointing of the Holy Ghost at this time. We acknowledge that we can't do anything without Thee. We acknowledge that we are nothing without Thee. But, O Lord, we pray that the Holy Spirit will speak to each of the hearts that are gathered here tonight. Father, thank You for bringing us here. Thank You, Lord, for everything that has been done tonight. We remember also, baby Ben, that You will be with him. O Lord, that You will be with him in this time, difficult time for him and for the family and for the parents. We pray, O Lord, that You will be with him. And, O Lord, that the doctors will know what is the problem and that they will be able to heal him, and that You will heal him, O Lord, through the doctors. But we pray, O Lord, for now, the need that we have now in this hour, at this moment of time. We pray, O Lord, for the need of every heart here. We ask, O Lord, that You will have a word for each heart. And that all of us will come nearer to the Lord Jesus Christ tonight. Father, we pray for those that are outside of Christ, far away from God, without hope, without God, without Christ in this world. Oh, Father, save them. Save them. In wrath, remember mercy, and have mercy upon them. We ask all these things in the precious name of Christ. Amen. If you have been watching the news in the last few weeks, perhaps you have heard of some very violent protests in the country of Pakistan. Many thousands of Muslims out in the streets asking for the death of one woman. Her name, Asia Bibi, and her crime, no murder, no theft, nothing like that, but only a supposed blasphemy against the Muslim prophet Muhammad. This woman has now been 8 years in jail, 8 years apart from her family, 8 years in the death row. But a month ago, the Supreme Court of Pakistan, they overruled her death sentence and said that there was no evidence for this supposed blasphemy, that the charges were false, and that she could go now free. Many Western countries now have offered asylum to this woman and her family because Pakistan, of course, wouldn't be a safe country for them to live. But what a transformation this woman could experience. From being sentenced to death to now being free. And today, we have read here in the book of Jeremiah, chapter 52, a similar story. The story of King Jehoiakim, who also experienced a massive transformation in his life, after 37 years of being in prison, after 37 years being exiled from his country, being separated from his family, not able to see the sun, the light of the sun, after 37 years, he was now given a high and honorable place in the palace of the greatest emperor of his time. What a transformation we see in his life. But perhaps you ask, who is this man, Jehoiakim? Who is this man? Jehoiakim, he became the king of Israel, the king of Judah, when he was only 18 years of age. And that time, it was a very difficult and hard time for the land of Judah. Because of the sins of his parents, because of those sins, God had permitted the enemies of Judah to have victory over them. The Bible tells us that the father of this man, the father of Jehoiakim, who had been actually a puppet king for the king of Babylon, this man had been an evil king. And the Bible says he filled Jerusalem with innocent blood, which the Lord would not pardon. And instead of turning away from his father's sins, King Jehoiakim, he followed on his father's footsteps. And the Bible says in 2 Kings that he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord, according to all that his father had done. So God sent the prophet Jeremiah. And in chapter 22 of Jeremiah, we read a solemn rebuke and the judgment of God that would come to this man if he didn't repent. And he didn't repent. During his reign, he didn't repent. So God sent this judgment upon him. Only three months after he was proclaimed the king of Judah, only 3 months after, the king of Babylon came and took him captive and put an end to his reign. How quickly the pleasures of this world, the pleasures of power and authority of being a king, ended for this man. And for you and me, how quickly the pleasures of this world end. This man, the king Jehoiakim, his greatest ambition was to become a king. And that only lasted for 3 months. And perhaps you have here great ambitions for your life. But you must know that all those things could end very, very soon. Very, very soon. We are not assured of tomorrow. So Christ must be our only treasure. And when the time came for this king, God brought the judgment to his life. And we are told that his wives, his mother, his officers, his mighty men from his army, and he himself were all taken captive from Jerusalem to Babylon, to a land that was 900 miles away from Israel. And that is how we find him here in jail, being captive now for 37 years. This passage that we have read here tonight, it's repeated, the same passage again in the book of 2 Kings in chapter 25. And here we find it just at the end of the prophecy of Jeremiah. So I believe that the Lord and the Holy Spirit has put this passage here and has repeated it twice in the Bible for a reason, because it is an important thing. It is an important passage that you and I must understand, that you and I must understand what lessons we can learn from here. I believe this story to be a picture, an imperfect but a true picture of the salvation that Christ provides to us in the gospel. It is an imperfect picture because the king there, evil Merodach, who granted this deliverance to Jehoiakim, he was an evil and a sinful king. But the king who grants us salvation, he is the king of kings and the lord of lords. He is a perfect, a holy, he is the king and the sovereign who left his glory and came to save us from our sins. But yet this story, though it is an imperfect picture, it is a true picture of our salvation. And that those earthly and physical changes that Jehoiakim experienced are a great illustration, a great picture, a great type of the spiritual and radical transformation that a Christian experiences when he is saved. And that will be our subject for tonight. The radical transformation and salvation. Radical transformation and salvation. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 17, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. There is a radical transformation when someone is saved. And these words that are put here in the book of Jeremiah, and the last words of the book, are very important. A book in which we can read of all the depraved, depraved sins of Judah, even in their captivity. A book in which we read of all that condemnation and judgment that God would bring to Judah because of their sins. A book in which we read of all that persecution that the prophet Jeremiah had to suffer and had to go through. A book like that ends with a note of hope, with a note of joy. The note of this king being delivered from prison. And so, perhaps you're here. And perhaps your life has been a life of sin. Perhaps your life has been a life where God has brought his judgment because of your sin. But even as in King Jehoiakim's situation, your life could end in a happy note, in a note of hope, if you come tonight to the Lord Jesus Christ. You could experience that radical transformation that Christ works when he saves a sinner. First, we want to see that this transformation, it is a transformation in our position. A transformation in our position, because when God saves a man, he changes our position completely. We are in a totally different situation now. In a totally different situation. We could say of King Jehoiakim that he went from the prison to the palace. King Jehoiakim had been 37 years in prison. Think about that. 37 years in prison. Perhaps he had lost all hopes of being set free. All hopes of seeing again his family. All hopes of being again and seeing the light of the sun and being able to be free again. But then when King Merodach ascended to the throne, in the first year of his reign, one of the first things that he did was to bring King Jehoiakim out of prison and bring him to the palace. Not only out of prison, but he brought him to the palace, to the greatest palace of the world, of the known world then. And you and I were born in prison to sin and to Satan. That is what the word of God tells us. We were born in bondage to sin. 2 Timothy 2 and verse 26 says that we are in the snare of the devil. We were taken captive by him at his will. We were in the prison to sin and to Satan. And you can't get out. You can't get out by your own free will because you are in bondage to sin. Men today speak a lot about freedom and about liberty. But all they think that they can do whatever they want, but that's nothing more than an illusion. After Adam and Eve sinned in the Garden of Eden, we are all born with an inclination to sin. We are born with an inclination to sin. We sin. We will always choose sin after sin after sin after sin because we are in bondage to it. And perhaps you say, oh, but you know, I'm not saved, but I sometimes do good deeds. I sometimes do good things. But the Bible says that there is none that doeth good. No, not one. You may do things that others see as good things, but your motives in doing those things are only your pride and your glory, not the glory of God. But there's hope for you, as there was hope for me, as there was hope for King Jehoiakim. Christ paid for sin. He became guilty in that cross of Calvary so that you could be brought from the prison, from bondage to sin, to the palace of the King, to the palace of Christ. As we have sang in that hymn of Charles Wesley and our brother has recited, my chains fell off, my heart was free. You could experience that tonight. But you may also say, but you know, King Jehoiakim didn't experience total liberty because he couldn't go to his own country. He had to stay in the palace. And that is quite true. That is true. He had to stay in the palace. He couldn't return to Jerusalem. He had to stay in the palace of the king. No human being has a total and unconditional freedom. We are all of us here, we are servants of one of two masters. Either you're a servant of sin and of Satan, or you're a servant of Christ and of God. But when King Jesus set us free from the prison of sin, we then become his servants in the palace of the king. And there is when we experience what true liberty is. True liberty is serving him. That is the liberty that we have in Christ, to serve Him with all our heart and to be out of the bondage of Satan and serving our God and our King. There's a hymn that says, I love my Master, I will not go out free, for He is my Redeemer, He paid the price for me. I would not leave His service, it is so sweet and blessed, and in the weariest moments, He gives the truest rest. That is what Christ offers to you tonight. Will you come to Him and become, from being in the prison of sin, to be the servant of the King in the palace of the King? What a totally different situation that you can experience tonight. But not only we have a totally different situation when Christ saved us, but also we have a totally different status. And as King Jehoiakim went from being a convict to now being a king. Because we read there in verse 31, we read there in the last part of the verse that Evil-Merodach, king of Babylon, in the first year of his reign, lifted up the head of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, and brought him forth out of prison, and spake kindly unto him, and set his throne above the throne of the kings that were with him in Babylon. We read there that the king of Babylon lifted up the head of King Jehoiakim. What a change in Jehoiakim's prestige and position, from being a nobody to now being a king in that honorable place. From being forgotten in a rotten prison, he was now honored to sit in a throne. To sit in a throne. He was placed, not only that, but he was placed above all the kings that the king of Babylon had conquered. He had a place that was above all those kings. What a transformation of status he had now and he experienced. And is that not true also in the life of the Christian? When somebody is saved, he was before filthy. He was a rebellious convict. But then when somebody is saved, he is now part of the royal family. He is now a child of God. He is now adopted into the family of God. And he is now a son of God. Of course, our status for the world has no value. For the world, we are nothing more than despised. We are a spectacle unto the world, as the Apostle Paul said. We are fools, we are weak, we are nothing for them. Nothing for them. But the psalmist said in Psalm 3 and verse 3, he said, "But thou, O Lord, art a shield for me." No matter what the world says, thou art a shield for me, my glory, and the lifter up of mine head. King Jehoiakim had his head bowed in prison. When we were a sinner, has his head bowed because he cannot look to the Lord Jesus Christ. But when Christ comes and saves a sinner, he lifts up the head of the sinner. Not, and the sinner is able to lift up his head and to see the Lord Jesus Christ. Not to lift up our head in pride, not at all, but to lift up our head and see the Lord Jesus Christ and say, "I love you and I will serve you." Oh, what a change. What a change in our status the Lord brings. We are now in Christ. We are His wife. And the Bible says we are kings. We are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people. Christ the God-man. He is superior to everyone and everything in this universe. And as the throne of King Jehoiakim was placed above all the thrones of the kings that were there, our throne is placed above all the thrones of the kings, the presidents, the prime minister, the princes of this world, because we are seated with Christ. We are united with Him. We are seated in His throne, and He is over all. He is superior to everything and everyone in this universe. What a transformation in our position. But secondly, we want to see also a transformation of our portion. Transformation of our portion. And why do I say this? Because we see here, and we see in the scriptures, that Christ, He changes our spiritual dress. We could say that we go from rags to riches. Very possibly, or Jehoiakim entered prison when he was 18, and now he was 55 years old. And very possibly, he had been all those years with the same old garment. Imagine 37 years with the same clothes, with the same garment. If I am 2 or 3 days with the same clothes, it would be bad. But imagine 37 years with the same clothes, with the same garment. Perhaps he had no possibility of even washing himself because he was in prison. And prisons there were not as prisons are today. Imagine the filthy state of his garment. But now he was washed and given royal garments. And what a change that was for him. And it's the same for us. We are sinners, and if you're here and you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, your garments are only garments of filthiness. And even a lot more filthy than these garments were for Jehoiakim. And why do I say that? Because the Word says, the Bible says, that all our best works, the best works that you could do, are only filthy rags in the sight of God. So, if the best works that you can do are only filthy rags, imagine how filthy are the bad works that you do. Imagine how filthy are your sins in the sight of God. How filthy they are. And we are only clothed with sin. And that is actually just what our first parents try to do. When they sin, what is the first thing that they try to do? They try to cover their sin. They try to cover their sin with fig leaves, but it didn't work. Because fig leaves were not any kind of garment. They were only going to perish. They would not work as a covering. And you perhaps are here today. And you have been trying to cover your sin for so much time. You have been trying to cover your sin. You appear and perhaps people think that you're a good person. Even perhaps people think that you are saved. Perhaps you can deceive the people here. Perhaps you can even deceive yourself and convince yourself that you're saved. But you cannot deceive God. You cannot deceive God. And God can see through your garments. God can see through your garments and he can see your heart. And he knows your heart if it has been redeemed or not by the blood of Christ. There's only one garment that will allow you to enter heaven. Only one garment. And that is the garment of holiness and of righteousness. And you can only find it in the Lord Jesus Christ. He lived a perfect, holy life in this world, and then he was put on the cross of Calvary and he shed his blood so that you can have tonight his garment of righteousness, his garment of salvation. Yeah, that garment is available for you today to take it. Oh, that you would exchange your garment with Christ. You would come to Christ. You would take off your garment of sin. And you would get, and you would put that in Christ, and you would take the garment of righteousness of Christ, and you would be dressed with that garment of righteousness. That is what salvation is. That is what this big transformation, this radical transformation that God works in the heart of the sinner. He changes completely our spiritual dress. And that is what happens when we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. But not only he totally changes our spiritual dress. But as we read there, he also totally changes our spiritual diet. We could say that King Jehoiakim went from starvation to satisfaction. We read there in verse 33 and verse 34. Last part of verse 33. And he did, and that's King Jehoiakim, he did continually eat bread before him all the days of his life. And for his diet, there was a continual diet given him of the king of Babylon, every day a portion until the day of his death, all the days of his life. I can imagine King Jehoiakim all those 37 years having very, very little to eat, suffering of starvation all that time because that how prison was for them. Some days he would have something to eat perhaps, and some days he would have nothing, suffering from starvation for 37 years. But then, in one day, he goes from not having anything to now having the food of the king, having a feast every day, and having food for every day, a diet assigned for him so that he would never, never, never be unsatisfied anymore, never suffer of starvation anymore. And as Christians, we must eat every day. Every day, the portion from our King until the day of our death. As we read there in verse 34, Jehoiakim got that food until the day of his death, all the days of his life. And that's what a Christian experiences too. Oh, we must eat every day food from heaven, food from our King, the Lord Jesus Christ, until the day of our death. The Lord's Prayer, or perhaps better call it the Disciples' Prayer, says, give us this day our daily bread. And from this that we have seen here, we can learn two important lessons. First is that God gives us the things we need on a daily basis. King Jehoiakim didn't get all the food he needed for all his life in once. No, he got every day his portion. And as Christians, God doesn't give us the food that we need for a year, the physical food and the spiritual food that we need for a year in one batch. No, he wants us to come to him every day. And daily, he gives us our daily bread. He wants to give it to us daily so that we would depend on him, so that we would come every day to him to ask him for our daily bread. But we can also learn here that the Christian must eat every day of the food of the King and of no other master. Of no other master. We can't serve two masters. We can't serve two masters. Jehoiakim would not even have thought of going anywhere else to get his food. No. The King Merodach had done so many wonderful things for him that he would only think of going to this king to get his provision, to get his food. So the true Christian knows that he is only truly satisfied when he goes to the Lord Jesus Christ to ask for his food, to ask for his physical food, but most importantly, to ask for his spiritual food. It is only in the word and prayer and fellowship with God. It's only when we come to God that we are truly satisfied. It is only him that can give us true satisfaction. But sadly, many in our society today, they call themselves Christians, but they get their portion every day from the world and not from God. What's the problem there then? Many in the visible church today would say that they are God's children, but they despise God's word, they despise God's commandment, they despise God's holiness for our life, they despise God's holy day, they despise anything that has to do with God, but they still call themselves Christians. Many people today claim they have made a decision for Christ, but yet no real or radical transformation has occurred in their life, and they're feeding themselves every day with the things of the king of this world, with the things of sin. No real or radical transformation has occurred in their lives, and that is a curse to the church of God, let me tell you. That is a big curse to the church, to the visible church of Christ. How many people today, they turn away from spiritual matters because they have seen somebody that professes to be a Christian but is living a life like the world. So many today, they turn from spiritual matters because of hypocrites in the visible church. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. He is a new creature. Let's imagine that. Tonight, I came here to church to preach here in Ballymoney 20 minutes late. I'm sure our brother Phil Moffat would be panicking in a way, and I'm sure the elders would not be too happy with that. Perhaps in Spain, times are different and that would be okay, but I'm sure here it wouldn't be okay in Northern Ireland to do that. And I'm sure the elders or people, when I would come, they would say, what happened to you, Alex? Why did you arrive so late? And imagine that I would say, you know, I was coming there through the bypass, and as I was driving my car, I had a flat tire. So then I went to fix the flat tire, and I was fixing it, and then a wheel nut of the tire went and rolled to the middle of the road. And then when I went to grab it, I looked up, and there was a 40-foot lorry coming at 70 miles an hour. And so I looked at it, and the lorry ran over me, and it wrecked me. But that is the reason I am late. So when people would see me like this, they would say, there's only two logical conclusions for this. Or you are a total liar, or you are totally mad. Why? Because nobody can have an encounter with a 40-foot lorry at 70 miles an hour and remain the same. But how it is that many people say that they have had an encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ and they remain the same. No transformation in their life, but still they claim, still perhaps you claim, that you have met Christ and there has been no transformation in your life. How is it that so many people say, I have met Christ, the Holy One, but still there is no true holiness in their life? It is impossible. It is impossible. The Bible says, we have said it, we have read it in 2 Corinthians, if any man be in Christ, if any of us here is in Christ, is truly saved, he is a new creature. All things are passed away. Everything becomes new. The Bible doesn't say he may be a new creature. He must be a new creature. He should be a new creature. It says he is a new creature. God takes away the heart of sin and he puts a heart of flesh. And of course, the Christian sins. Yes, he sins. But he repents every day. And he lives a life of true repentance every day. Of course, the Christian sometimes goes astray. But the good shepherd always, always goes to seek that sheep. And he brings the sheep again to the fold. A Christian will want to eat every day, will have that desire to eat every day the food from the King and from no other. And it's there that he will be satisfied. As we closed here, I was thinking when I thought about this text, why all of this elevation and honor to this man Jehoiakim? Why? It is a strange and a marvelous story that we have read there. But from being a nobody there, now he is elevated to being a king and a high and honored king. Historians, they try to speculate about the reasons. But the truth is that there was no reason in Jehoiakim himself. He was a wretched, rebellious sinner, and he was paying the consequence of his sin as he was there in that prison. It was only by the sovereign decree of the king that he was set free. So then, why does Christ save a rebellious sinner? Why does he do it? Why does he do it? It is not because of anything good in the sinner. The sinner is helpless and hopeless. I was helpless and hopeless. Jehoiakim was helpless and hopeless. And you, if you're still in your sins, you are helpless and hopeless. It is for anything that is in the sinner. It is not either because Christ knew that the sinner would have faith in the future. No, because faith is not anything from man. Faith is a gift that God gives. So then why has Christ loved the sinner? Why? The Bible has only one answer. He has loved us because he loved us. That is the only answer. Christ has loved us out of only his sovereign grace. And that love and that grace is offered to you sinner here tonight. This grace is offered to you tonight. So how will you respond? How will you answer to this free offer of salvation that Christ himself is saying to you? How will you answer? How will you answer? He's saying to you, come. Come unto me, all ye that are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. He's saying that to you. How will you respond to this great transformation that God has provided? If you're not saved here tonight, will you come? Will you repent of your sins and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, who can and will save you from your sins? You know, if you read there in verse 32, we read that this king Merodach, Evil Merodach, he came to Jehoiakim and he spake kindly unto him. And so tonight, Christ comes to you and he's speaking words of kindness to you, words of grace, words of love, words of his goodness. You know, that's not what you deserve. You deserve Christ to come with his words of judgment and of punishment. But Christ comes to you and he says, come. With words of kindness, he is speaking kindly to you tonight so that you would come. What will be your answer? Will you come to him and be radically transformed by the Lord Jesus Christ? Radically transformed, because who has a true encounter with Christ, who comes to Christ, will never remain the same. You can stay tonight in your prison as a convict with your rags and your starvation, and one day go to an eternity outside of God in hell. But you can also come to Christ tonight. You can come to Him and then go from being in the prison to the palace, from being a convict to being a king, from rags to riches, from starvation to satisfaction only in Christ. That is only all by the grace of God, nothing that we can do. Perhaps you're here and you think that you can still add a bit to this salvation that Christ is offering to you. Perhaps you think that you can still earn a bit of your salvation by anything you do or you give. But that is a big mistake. Imagine that you are invited to Buckingham Palace to a big dinner that the Queen is doing there. Imagine that you are seated at the table that is filled with the best food in all the world. Every effort is made so that you would have an enjoyable evening there. And even at the end of that dinner, the Queen there goes and stands at the door to bid you, to say to you goodbye. What do you do then? Then as you leave, you go and you shake the Queen's hand and you give her a couple of pounds and you say, thank you very much for your kindness. I realize it has cost you a lot, all these things that you have done, so I want to pay a bit of my meal. Do you think that would be an answer? Is that the proper response to her kindness? It's not. That would be ignorant. That would be rude. That would be an insulting gesture to the Queen. And so it is when you do that to the King of Kings, God of God and the Lord of Lords. When you say to God, oh, I can still maybe help a bit in my salvation, I can still do a bit to earn my salvation, you're insulting the God of heaven. Because when Christ died, He said, it is finished. It is finished. There's nothing more that you can do. You can only come to Him and say, as the hymn we have sung, nothing in my hands I bring, only to thy cross I cling. Will you do that tonight, sinner? Will you do that tonight? And will you come to the Lord Jesus Christ and accept Him as your only Savior? We have read the story here tonight. We have heard of this woman there in Pakistan. She was sentenced to death, and now she has been offered true freedom, or physical freedom. We have read there of Jehoiakim, how he was 37 years in prison and in jail. And then he was given all those honors and all those high and elevated position with the king. And we have, but our subject tonight has been that so great salvation, that biggest transformation of all. That you can go from being a sinner, a rebellious sinner, from being in the prison of sin, to being now in the palace of the king. Will you come tonight? If you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray that tonight you will come to Him. Let us pray.